Reacher got up off the wall when she was 10 feet away and said, "Milena?" She slowed, with the kind of sudden wariness any woman should feel when randomly accosted in the street by a giant of a stranger. She glanced ahead at the bar's door, and then across at the opposite sidewalk, as if assessing her options for a fast escape. She stumbled a little, as if caught between the need to stop and the urge to run. Reacher said, "We're friends of Jorge's." She looked at him, and then at the others, and then back at him. Some kind of slow realization dawned on her face. First puzzlement, then hope, then disbelief, and then acceptance. The same sequence Reacher imagined a poker player must experience when a fourth ace shows up in his hand. Then there was some kind of muted satisfaction in her eyes, as if, contrary to all expectations, a comforting myth had proved to be true. "You're from the army. He told me you'd come." "When?"
"All the time. He said if he ever had trouble, you'd show up, sooner or later."
"And here we are. Where can we talk?"
"Just let me tell them I'm going to be late today."
She smiled a little shyly and skirted around the mall and headed inside the bar. Came out again 2 minutes later, moving faster, standing taller, with her shoulders straighter, like a weight had been taken off them, like she was no longer alone. She looked young, but capable. She had clear brown eyes and fine skin, and the kind of thin, sinewy hands a person gets after working hard for 10 years.
"Let me guess," she said.
She turned to Nagley.
"You must be Nagley."
Then she moved on to Dixon and said, "Which makes you Carla." She turned to Reacher and O'Donnell and said,
"Ah, Reacher and O'Donnell, right? The big one and the handsome one?"
O'Donnell smiled at her, and she turned back to Reacher and said,
"They told me you were here last night, looking for me."
Reacher said, "We wanted to talk to you about Jorge."
Milena took a breath and swallowed and said,
"He's dead, isn't he?"
"Probably," Reacher said. "We know for sure Manuel Orozco is." Milena said,
"No."
Reacher said, "I'm sorry."
Dixon asked, "Where can we go to talk?"
"We should go to Jorge's place," Milena said. "His home. You should see it.
We heard it was wrecked. I cleaned it up a little. Is it far?"
"We can walk."
They walked back down the strip, all five of them side by side. The construction zone was still deserted. No activity. But no commotion either. No cops. Milena asked twice more whether Sanchez was dead, as if repeating the question might eventually yield the answer she wanted to hear. Both times, Reacher answered, "Probably."
"But you don't know for sure."
"His body hasn't been found."
"But Orozco's has."
"Yes, we saw it."
"What about Calvin Franz and Tony Swan? Why aren't they here?"
"Franz is dead. Swan, too, probably."
"For sure?"
"Franz, for sure."
"But not Swan?"
"Not for sure."
"And not Jorge, for sure?"
"Not for sure, but probably."
"Okay."
She walked on, refusing to surrender, refusing to give up hope. They passed the high-end hotels one by one, moving through sketched facsimiles of the world's great cities, all in the space of a few hundred yards. Then they saw apartment buildings. Milena led them through a left turn and then a right onto a parallel street. She stopped under the shade of an awning that led to the lobby of a building that might have been the best place in town 4 generations of improvements ago.
"This is it. I have a key."
She slipped her backpack off her shoulder and rooted through it, and came out with a change purse. She unzipped it and took out a door key made of tarnished brass. "How long did you know him?" Reacher asked. She paused for a long moment, trapped into contemplating the use of the past tense and trying to find a way of making it seem less than definitive.
We met a few years ago.
She led them into the lobby. There was a doorman behind a desk. He greeted her with a degree of familiarity. She led them to the elevator. They went up to the 10th floor and turned right on a faded corridor, stopped outside a door painted green. She used her key. Inside, the apartment wasn't a breathtaking spread, but it wasn't small, either. Two bedrooms, a living room, a kitchen, plain decor, mostly white, some bright colors, a little old-fashioned, generous windows. Once, the place must have had a fine view of the desert, but now it looked straight at a newer development a block away. It was a man's place, simple, unadorned, undesigned. It was a real mess. It had been through the same kind of drama as Calvin Franz's office. The walls and the floor and the ceiling were solid concrete, so they hadn't been damaged. But other than that, the treatment had been similar. All the furniture was ripped up and torn apart. Chairs, sofas, a desk, a table. Books and papers had been dumped everywhere. A TV set and stereo equipment had been smashed. CDs were littered everywhere. Rugs had been lifted and thrown aside. The kitchen had been almost demolished. Milena's cleaning up had been limited to piling some of the debris around the perimeter and stuffing some of the feathers back into a few of the cushions. She had stacked a few of the books and papers near the broken shelves they had come from. Apart from that, there hadn't been much she could do. A hopeless task. Reacher found the kitchen trash, where Curtis Mawney had said the crumpled napkin had been found. The pail had been torn off its mounting under the sink and booted across the room. Some stuff seemed to have fallen out, and some hadn't. This was more about anger than efficiency. Destruction, almost for its own sake, like they were just as much mad as worried.
I agree,
Nagley said. Reacher opened the door and moved on to the master bedroom. The bed was wrecked. The mattress had been destroyed. In the closet, clothes were dumped everywhere. The rails had been torn down, the shelves had been smashed. Jorge Sanchez had been a neat person, to start with, and his neatness had been reinforced by years of living with military restraints and standards. There was nothing left of him in his apartment. No shred, no echo. Milena was moving around the space, listlessly, putting more stuff in tentative piles, stopping occasionally to leaf through a book or look at a picture. She used her thigh to butt the ruined sofa back to its proper position, even though no one would ever sit on it again. Reacher asked her, "Have the cops been here?"
"Yes."
"Did they have any conclusions?"
"They think whoever came here dressed up as phony contractors, cable or phone."
"Okay. But I think they bribed the doorman."
"That would be easier."
Reacher nodded. Vegas, a city of scams. Did the cops have an opinion as to why?
No.
When did you last see Jorge?
We had dinner. Here. Chinese takeout.
When?
His last night in Vegas.
You were here then?
It was just the two of us.
He wrote something on a napkin. Milena nodded. Because someone called him? Milena nodded again.
Who called him?
Milena said,
Calvin Franz.
Chapter 49. Milena was looking shaky, so Reacher used his forearm to clear shards of broken china off the kitchen countertop to give her a place to sit. She boosted herself up and sat with her elbows turned out and her hands laid flat on the laminate, palms down, trapped under her knees. Reacher said, "We need to know what Jorge was working on. We need to know what caused all this trouble."
"I don't know what it was."
"But you spent time with him?"
"A lot."
"And you knew each other well?"
"Very well."
For years. On and off. So he must have talked to you about his work. All the time. So what was on his mind? Milena said, business was slow. That's what was on his mind. Is business here? In Vegas? Milena nodded.
It was great in the beginning. Years ago, they were always busy. They had a lot of contracts. But the big places dropped them, one by one. They all set up in-house operations. Jorge said it was inevitable. Once they reach a certain size, it makes more sense.
We met a guy at our hotel who said Jorge was still busy. Like a one-armed paper hanger. Milena smiled.
The guy was being polite, and Jorge put a brave face on it. Manuel Orozco, too. At first, they used to say, we'll fake it until we make it. Then they said, we'll fake it now we're not making it anymore. They kept up a front. They were too proud to beg.
So what are you saying? They were going down the tubes?
Fast. They did a bit of muscle work here and there. Doormen at some of the clubs, running cheats out of town, stuff like that. They did some consulting for the hotels, but not much anymore. Those people always think they know better, even when they don't.
Did you see what Jorge wrote on the napkin?
Of course. I cleared dinner away after he left. He wrote numbers.
What did they mean?
I don't know, but he was very worried about them.
What did he do next, after Franz's call?
He called Manuel Orozco, right away. Orozco was very worried about the numbers, too.
How did it all start? Who came to them?
Came to them?
Reacher asked, who was their client?
Milena looked straight at him. Then she turned and twisted and looked at O'Donnell, and then Dixon, and then Nagley. You're not listening to me. They didn't really have clients. Not anymore.
Something must have happened, Reacher said.
I don't know what you mean.
I mean, someone must have come to them with a problem. On the job somewhere, or at the office.
I don't know who came to them.
Jorge didn't say.
No. One day they were sitting around doing nothing. The next day, they were as busy as blue-assed flies. That's what they used to call it. Blue-assed flies, not one-armed paper hangers.
But you don't know why.
Milena shook her head. They didn't tell me.
Who else might know?
Orozco's wife might know.
Chapter 50. The rec department went very quiet, and Reacher stared straight at Milena and said, Manuel Orozco was married. Milena nodded.
They have three children.
Reacher looked at Nagley and asked, why didn't we know that?
I don't know everything, Nagley said.
We told Mawny the next of kin was the sister.
Dixon asked, where did Orozco live? Down the street.
Milena said,
in a building just like this.
Milena led them another quarter mile away from the center of town to an apartment house on the other side of the same street, Orozco's place. It was very similar to Sanchez's, same age, same style, same construction, same size, a blue sidewalk awning where Sanchez's had been green. Reacher asked, what is Mrs. Orozco's name?
Tammy,
Milena said. Will she be home? Milena nodded.
She'll be asleep. She works nights in the casinos. She gets home and gets the children on a school bus, and then she goes right to bed.
We're going to have to wake her up. It was the building's doorman who woke her up. He called upstairs on the house phone. There was a long wait, and then there was a reply. The doorman announced Milena's name, and then Reacher's, and Nagley's, and Dixon's, and O'Donnell's. The guy had picked up on the mood, and he used a serious tone of voice. He left no doubt that the visit wasn't good news. There was another long wait. Reacher guessed Tammy Orozco would be matching the four new names with her husband's nostalgic recollections and putting two and two together. Then he guessed she would be putting on a house coat. He had visited widows before. He knew how it went.